Welcome, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Your host today, Marty Jones, and Owen Woods is our producer. We want to thank Don Richmond for the music that you hear during the podcast and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the birds. We're a week out from the big election 2024 vote, so we thought we'd spend the first part of this episode talking a bit about some of what's on the ballot. In addition, on the Valley Pod, a podcast also produced by Alamosa Citizen, host Chris Lopez visited with congressional candidate Adam Fresh, who weighed in on some interesting federal land management issues bubbling up in the San Luis Valley and the western slope of Colorado. We'll hear a bit of that conversation as well on this episode of The Outdoor Citizen. First, the election. There are two ballot measures we want to mention that we believe are in appropriate context to the Outdoor Citizen podcast and our effort to engage the listening audience on issues related to the great outdoors of the San Luis Valley and neighboring regions. The first is Proposition JJ and the retention of sports betting tax revenue to help fund the Colorado Water Plan. The proposition seeks to eliminate a current cap of $29 million on the amount of sports betting tax revenue the state allocates for water conservation and management projects. This measure would allow the state to retain and allocate all sports betting tax revenue for water protection initiatives. Currently, all sports betting tax revenue in Colorado is directed toward a water plan implementation fund. However, due to Colorado's 1992 Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, also known as TABOR, tax revenue from the activity exceeding $29 million must be refunded to the sports betting businesses. If voters approve the November measure, the cap would be eliminated, and the state may retain all additional sports betting tax revenue for its water management program. Another ballot proposition facing voters is Proposition 127. It would, in effect, prohibit bobcat, lynx, and mountain lion hunting and trapping in Colorado. If adopted, it will allow, on a permit basis, the killing of these animals under certain circumstances, such as livestock depredation. There is an organized campaign around a yes vote on this proposition called Yes on 127, Cats Are Not Trophies. They have rolled out supporter after supporter who are calling for a yes vote, and those supporters include former members of the Colorado Wildlife Commission. As well, there have been others, like Colorado State Senator Cleve Simpson of Alamosa and Adam Frisch, the Democratic candidate for the U.S. 3rd Congressional District race, who argue these types of wildlife decisions should be left to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife and its staff. Let's hear Frisch on this point.
If you are a sitting member of Congress in 2025, one of the first battles you're going to witness as a new member is the vote for the Speaker of the House. You're sitting in the minority party as a Democrat. Would you be open to supporting the current Speaker, Mike Johnson? Or would you rally with the Democrats for Akin Enfris? And I think those are going to be your two preference, your two options in 2025, Mike Johnson or Akin Enfris. How do you see that?
Well, listen, I'll be voting for Akin Enfris if that, when we get there. I'll do that, but that doesn't mean that that takes away the ability to try to focus on what's important for Southern and Western Colorado with a bunch of votes. You know, I'm on the record. I was the first candidate running for Congress on the Democratic Party to ask for President Biden with respect to pass the torch. We made that comment on July 2nd in the local papers as well as in the Washington Post. I made it very, very clear that I was not happy with State Bill 166 in Colorado. There was a big slap in the face to mostly Pueblo, but also Southern Colorados that are on the producer side of things. And normally I don't want to get involved in state issues, but you know, whether it's the reintroduction of the wolf issue, which I thought was a horrible idea, Proposition 127 about banning mountain lions, this wildlife biology by ballot box is a really bad idea in my mind. We came out against President Biden's desire to see the liquid natural gas export ban increased. I think that we should be exporting responsible energy. We should not be exporting our guilt. So, you know, regardless of what happens to the Speaker of the House, at the end of the day, I'm going to be on Team Colorado all day long.
Frisch also expressed his thoughts on the potential for a National Conservation Area designation for the Rio Grande Corridor through Conejos County and down to the border of New Mexico. This is an effort being facilitated by the SLV Ecosystem Council and staffer Ana Vargas. A next meeting around the idea is scheduled for November 12th in Manassa. Here's Frisch on his thoughts. He also weighs in on an effort underway proposing a new national monument on approximately 400,000 acres of public lands surrounding the Dolores River in the western portions of Mesa and Montrose counties.
You know, I appreciate the Team 3D, CD3 yep. focus of yours. But as you know, there are differences within that third congressional district depending on who you talk to. Coming up in the town of Manassa later this month or in November, there's a conversation going to happen on the potential for a National Conservation Area designation for the Rio Grande Corridor through Conejos County up into New Mexico. Similarly, there are efforts underway proposing a new national monument on around 400,000 acres of public lands surrounding the Dolores River, western portions of Montrose counties, Mesa counties, in the yep. 3rd CD. Very contentious issues, these two. How do you look at these two particular topics of land conservations, national area designations, national monument designations? Do we need it? Where do you come down on those two?
Yeah, no. Everyone appreciates our public lands, our clean air, clean water. We need more water to remain here, obviously, which we can talk about later on. But obviously, public lands and private property rights are really, really important, and I stand by that. To me, the best type of public lands conversations happen when they're locally driven, and that we have buy-in from the ranching, farming, ag community, when we have buy-in from the multi-use recreational users, motorized and unmotorized, and we have buy-in from mining and domestic energy, because we still are the best place in the world to produce responsible energy for that. Where you've seen examples of that prior, you see some good examples of that. So my comment with the Rio Grande Valley conversations is, and we're going to be down in Manassa later on today doing some door knocking, it's really, really important that this is a locally driven, inside out conversation where we're hearing from the people that are going to be most affected by the lands. Where things have gone, I would say, less than ideal is on the western slope, is with this conversation between the National Conservation Area on the western slope, which I'm fully supportive of. I'm fully supportive of, on the record, seeing further protections. There's already a lot of protections there, but I'm happy to have these further protections. However, I've been very clear on the record, I'm not supportive of a national monument going on there, because there's a couple of things. One is, I think this is less than an inside-out conversation. And one of the reasons I pushed back against some Bureau of Land Management rules that came out about a year ago, they try to raise the word conservation to be at the same high use as grazing and agriculture. And to me, I think that was a slap in the face to a lot of ranchers and farmers, because I think they are the ultimate conservationists when it comes to the public land. And what I was worried about, if that word conservation, which has since been changed, so I give credit to finally DC for realizing, I think it's more about restoration than conservation now, which is okay. But what it's done is, what we don't want to do is to attract kind of front range money to come in here and outbid ranchers and farmers that for generations have been leasing BLM land to feed the country, and turn it and kind of shut it down. I don't see that there's a conflict between people grazing and conserving land. I think it's quite the opposite. And so that's why it needs to be more of a rural focused, locally focused conversation about public lands. And I'm hoping that the Manassa conversation was locally driven, and then it gets in from there from input. Where I've seen it gone, and what I would say is a wrong way, is when it goes to the national monument conversation. The other thing I don't like about the national monument conversation is, for someone who's running for Congress, and it is Article 1, not Article 2 of the Constitution, is I do not want to abdicate further responsibility from Congress just to the White House. Whether it's a Democrat in the White House or the Republican in the White House, I am pro-Congress and I'm pro-Western and Southern Colorado. And I do not like the stroke of the pen conversation, with due respect to those that are really trying to figure out how to do that. And I wish that that conversation on the Western Slope was more locally driven, and we'll see how it goes on. I do understand that there are negotiations happening between the different sides, and I fully support those conversations happening. The best ideal situation is when the conservationists that are coming from within the county but without the counties come up with those that are locally there, ranchers and farmers and energy producers and landowners. They can come in holding hands and say, we want to do this. Hopefully that's done through a national conservation agreement.
We don't take positions on any of these topics, but we do encourage conversations, and we encourage you to cast your ballot for the November 5th election. Your vote is your voice. We'll be right back with some outdoor conditions after a brief sponsor break.
Do you have an idea that could make life in Bonavista even better? Maybe it's new chemistry equipment that will inspire high school students, or medical kits that will help police officers respond to emergencies, or maybe it's transforming a former church into a new community art space. Every day, Bonavista locals are making their community better with a little support from the Lore Foundation. To share an idea and learn how Lore can help, contact Yvette Atencio at ivette@lorefoundation.org.
We'll have a mostly sunny end to October with average daytime temperatures in the mid-50s. The nights are getting colder, too. Wednesday night is predicted to have a low of 17 degrees, with the rest of the week getting down into the low 20s. The Front Range is expected to get a little snow between Halloween and Election Day. The valley floor will remain relatively dry. However, the San Juan Mountains are expected to get a small amount of early snow. The Upper Rio Grande's snow water equivalent got a little bump, up to 7% of median over the past week. And also in the past week, the flow of the Rio Grande through Alamosa increased from 55 CFS to 70 CFS. And if any of you have been walking along the levee, you probably noticed that little bump in the river. Now the news. The Colorado Department of Agriculture will be having two more free sessions for ranchers to learn how to use non-lethal approaches to keep wolves from their livestock. In an attempt to broaden the toolbox of ranchers and avoid lethal conflicts between ranchers and wolves, the state agency partnered with CPW, the U.S. Department of Animal and Plant Health Inspection Services, Wildlife Services, and Colorado State University Extension to make these trainings happen before the next set of wolves set to be released into Colorado and before calving and lambing season. The agencies said the goal of these trainings is to prepare producers. Some of the topics that will be discussed at the trainings will be Wolf 101, investigation and necropsy, site assessments, potential funding sources, compensation program, carcass management, range riding, and how to haze off a predator, non-lethal tools to protect livestock, livestock protection dogs and support group, drone use, relationship building, supporting the community, and communications. Boy, that sounds pretty thorough, Owen. The next training will be held on November 4th from 6 to 9 p.m., in Meeker, Colorado, at the Rio Blanco Fairgrounds Exhibit Hall No. 2, which is located at 835 Sulphur Creek Road in Meeker. And the final training will take place on November 5th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Glenwood Springs at the Morgridge Commons, 815 Cooper Avenue, on the second floor. For more information, contact Dustin Shiflett at dustinshiflett@state.co.us. That's dustinshiflett@state.co.us. You can also call Dustin at 720-902-12 Also, Rocky Mountain PBS is releasing an episode of their documentary series, Colorado Experience, on gray wolves called Return of the Wolf. The episode premieres on October 31st. How appropriate that it be on Halloween night, right? We're talking wolves here, not werewolves, though, just in case you're thinking about that. So, the episode premieres Halloween night, October 31st, 7 p.m. on Rocky Mountain PBS, and will be available to stream on rmpbs.org and YouTube the same day. For this documentary, Rocky Mountain PBS interviewed history and wildlife biology professors, as well as ranchers and wolf advocates, to track the story and history of wolves in Colorado. The Colorado Wildlife Employees Protective Association, which represents 230 current and former CPW biologists, administrators, and officers, adopted a first-of-its-kind resolution earlier in October supporting science-based wildlife conservation. Although the resolution is broad and doesn't specify Proposition 114, which reintroduced gray wolves, or Proposition 127, which could ban the hunting of Colorado's big cats if passed this election, it is a clear indication that many of Colorado's wildlife experts would rather see wildlife conservation and management continue as is rather than in the hands of the voters. Again, the resolution doesn't specifically take opposition against the propositions, but states that, quote, the members of the Colorado Wildlife Employees Protective Association hold it to be self-evident that all wildlife in Colorado is best protected, enhanced, and managed via the science-based wildlife management professionals employed by the state of Colorado for such purposes, unquote. Colorado Parks and Wildlife remains neutral. And I think we should point out that lynx are a federally endangered species, so Proposition 127 really doesn't change anything about lynx management. Next up, we have a look at a couple of upcoming outdoor events. The final bike and walk audit that's being run by the Alamosa Bicycle Working Group is going to be held November 12th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. This audit will start and end at the State Avenue River Trail access, just across the State Avenue Bridge here in Alamosa. If needed, a rain day is scheduled for the following day, November 13th, at the same time. The San Juan Nordic Club Early Season Social and Board Elections will be held November 2nd, beginning at 4:30 p.m. at the Colorado Farm Brewery, 2070 County Road 12 South. The San Juan Nordic Club grooms trails for cross-country skiing when there is enough snow at Bishop Rock, Monte Vista Golf Course, Rock Creek, and Big Meadows. There's almost always enough snow at Rock Creek and Big Meadows. Sometimes there's not quite enough snow at Bishop's Rock or at the Monte Vista Golf Course. But when we have a good snow year, and let's hope that we get a good snow year this year, Owen and I both have our fingers crossed.
Big time.
Yeah. So at any rate, get out there and do some cross-country skiing. If you're interested in participating on the board, you can view the position descriptions on their website, sjnordic.wordpress.com. That's sjnordic.wordpress.com. Terms for the board run from June 1st to May 31st. The Nordic Club is also looking for volunteers to help with future events and trail grooming. And we will no doubt have a podcast with the San Juan Nordic Club coming up before their big fundraising event, the Ski Swap, in early December.
We'll be having them either in our first episode of November or our second episode in November, but either way, they'll be here with us.
Excellent. That's great. Thanks, Owen. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. We're taking an extra week in between episodes. After all, we've got the election coming up next week.
Nothing crazy or anything.
No, nothing at all. And this is just a good reminder to get out there and vote. Join us later in November when we talk with the people behind the Rio Grande Riverfront Project, another exciting topic, and the San Juan Nordic Club. The Outdoor Citizen is supported by SLV Great Outdoors and is produced and edited by Owen Woods. If you have an outdoor adventure you want to share, or if there are topics that you'd like to hear in a future episode, send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com. And as always, we want to thank Don Richmond for the song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. Until next time, this is Marty Jones saying thanks for tuning in and thanks for being outdoors.
San Luis Valley Great Outdoors is a proud sponsor of the Outdoor Citizen podcast, produced and published by alamosacitizen.com, where we bring outdoor stories to you. SLV Go builds pathways to connect. Whether building and maintaining trail systems across the San Luis Valley with the Great Outdoors Action Team, providing inclusive opportunities for families in the outdoors with SLV Generation Wild, jumpstarting community coalitions that turn ideas into reality, leading community adventures with the Embajadores, and holding space for conversation around the balance of conservation and recreation. SLV Go has a mission to provide residents and visitors throughout the San Luis Valley with accessible and inclusive outdoor recreation opportunities that balance conservation, connect communities, improve wellness, encourage stewardship, and contributes to the economic vitality of the region. Don't forget to share your outdoor adventures with us via the Outdoor Field Report. Until next time, we will see you on the trails.